Welcome to Holden Village. In the fireside room this afternoon, we're going to listen to the long-term staff discuss the NORPAC decision. Let's listen in.
I looked for a book that we have neither in our bookstore nor our library, and I want to rectify that. It's a book by an ethicist named Karen LeBox, who teaches at the Graduate Theological Union. And there is an opening few paragraphs to this book on ethics, particularly what it means to live in a community of moral discernment, a faith community of moral discernment. She begins by simply talking about what it means to rise in the morning and to breathe and to drink whatever it is that she drinks first thing in the morning, whether it's tea or coffee or cocoa or milk or water, that from that first breath and that first drink, she's living a compromised life, that there is no absolutely righteous place to stand. There is no perfect decision that can be made. And her point is that maybe no more powerfully or poignantly true than with regard to the food that we eat, that as someone has said, orange juice.
You put them up to that juice. Juice.
It's compromise. Orange juice.
Eloquent than I am on this, so I hope to read a few paragraphs from the book kind of as a setting for how we begin this conversation, that whatever step we make in humility, I think, knowing that there isn't a perfect place to stand. And so Janet and I and Martin spent most of the morning today talking about this, and we came up with as some givens to frame our conversation. And I'll just put these up. The first given is that we will move from faith as a community of moral deliberation, that that's the heart of what we do when we come together to make an ethical decision and to have conversation with one another, that what we hope to be is a community of moral deliberation. Secondly, that another given is the situation of migrant foreign workers in the U.S. is not good. I don't think there's anybody who needs to argue about that. The third given was made clear to us when the Holden Board met, which is to act as, quote, Holden Incorporated. The board must be party to our decision. That we, as this small community of people, are not Holden Village. We are just the people who happen to be living together here for a longer period of time than some at a given moment, and that we don't have the authority to commit Holden Incorporated to a public boycott, that would have to go through the board and have to be decided by the board, which doesn't mean that there aren't other things we can't do or that we that we won't go through the board, but that one of the givens is we don't have the power to enter boycott as an incorporation. Another given is that the impact on the Holden kitchen purchases and staff must be considered. And that's a piece of the conversation that has not been brought to the community yet. So just the directors at least thought that before any final conclusion is made, that we need to ask our kitchen staff to consider carefully what the ramifications would be for them, so that could be a part of the decision making, in part because if we made a decision that would radically affect how they were to do business without asking them to consider that first, it would almost make the kitchen crew other than the group that decided. You know what I'm saying? So no one has asked the kitchen yet what it would mean if we would do a variety of things. And they didn't teach me. I guess I could have done it this way, because the last thing is not till later. Later we're going to say, make a suggestion that we commit to meeting during first dinner every other Thursday until we come to a full resolution about what to do. At this point, I'd ask, are there other givens that we can think of to add to this list with the basis that we stand on?
Can we challenge you then?
Sure.
I would hope, if it's a moral question and we can enter into it, that the impact on the whole in the kitchen would be taken care of as a separate issue. I have a hard time saying that if we believe it's right to not buy from them, to then step back and say, but we can't get anywhere else, I just can't accept that it's not, there's not another way to do it. And if it means the kitchen has to work more, then it seems that's a staff coordinator, not a kitchen situation. Or a director's, if it costs more, maybe that's a director's question. I have a problem with the idea of the kitchen saying whether we can do a boycott.
No, see, I didn't mean to say that the kitchen would say whether or not we can do a boycott. But we haven't asked the kitchen anything about what it would mean to their lives.
I would say at the very least that they, I mean, this is for the community, and if they have concerns as the kitchen staff, then they need to be here and bring those as part of this discussion and not have that be an addendum to what goes on here.
I think that's my point, that at some point in our conversation, that's a voice that needs to be incorporated into the conversation, because the concern has been raised with us by Mark.
I guess my point is, and Mark, we need to schedule the meeting so Mark can be here now. I can't see it be a weighted voice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mark didn't attend our session either. Being the food services director, I feel like it's very important for him to have
his voice. My understanding during our main committee meeting, Mark said some of the effect of, you know, that there would be implications and we need to talk about it once whoever went got back. And I don't know where he's been for that, but the impression I got back then when we first started looking at the issue was, you know, he thought there was implications for the kitchen, he wanted them to be considered, but he was willing to defer until there was more information, and now there's more information.
Ginger is here. Maybe I don't know if that would be talk with Mark about being here and not, and him not being here.
I haven't, but I mean, I have an idea of how it would affect the kitchen. And
well, maybe you shouldn't share that until we decide whether or not this is a good one. When we were talking about it, we were remembering exactly what Ron was saying. So in our earlier discussion, Mark said, you know, when this gets down the road, we need to talk about what this means for the kitchen. And that piece has not ended the conversation yet. So we're just saying.
Well, at this point, there's no impact on the kitchen. So I don't understand why.
Okay. So would you want to remove that as a given? Is that a consensus?
I think we should.
I think we need to reconfirm or define, consider. The kitchen might be in a position to help the rest of the staff understand how it might be implemented if it was a decision to work it out. How that might be done.
It
might be positive input, is what I'm saying to you.
But I'm saying that seems to be logistical and something you deal with after you've made a decision, not something you put into your decision. And as a given, I would think our givens are things we put into our decision. The kitchen part turns out to be how we do the logistics of what decision we've made. And I guess I'm bold enough to say, if we decide that it's worthy to boycott, we can deal with any logistics the kitchen can come up with. Because I can't believe there's only one place to get vegetables in the United States.
Well, the issue that was raised at the trustees is what is the budgetary impact of purchasing from other places? That could be, if you get stopped on a question like that, then you would have been foolish not to have prepared for that. All we're saying is considered.
Okay.
They need to be drawn into the conversation so that we know what the ramifications would be for them and can either accept them or find a way around them or absorb them before we move forward.
Then it would be even a bigger challenge to me if it's going to be an economic decision instead of a moral decision.
It says moral deliberation, but if it ends up being a financial issue, then that's completely different.
There you're making a financial decision for somebody else.
That would be the board. I accept that the board gets to make a decision whether they can afford to do this. I guess I have a hard time with the kitchen making a decision.
It's considered. I'm agreeing
with Scott, and I feel like what's being said there is implying that the kitchen has a certain veto power. Now you're sort of voicing that is not the case, but as I read that statement, that's how I interpret it.
Well, not a veto part, but a voice in the conversation.
Sure, and I say that's why this is happening.
That's why we're here.
And I don't want to have to rehash everything because someone who is critical of the process comes in at a later stage.
Two announcements. If it's a given that the Holden Board is going to be party to the decision, and if the Holden Board has said that when they make this decision, they want to hear from how it's going to impact the kitchen, then I agree with Martin that it would be foolish to put any proposal before the board, who apparently is going to make the final decision, unless we have carried out what they've asked us to do.
Well, let me clarify something here. I volunteered for this job. I thought I would be good at it. But so I've already screwed up three things. So let me go back and make clear what I'm saying about the Holden Board. The Holden Board would need to be in on the decision only if the decision we made was at the farthest end of a spectrum, which was to make an official boycott and sign on as Holden Incorporated boycotting NORPAC. There are a number of other decisions that we are free to make that do not include the board, as long as it doesn't, in a major way, affect the budget limits that they've placed on, that the board has placed on us. Everything from deciding to buy our vegetables somewhere else, the board doesn't care if we change that. Unless we would overreach the budget limits that they have put on us. A letter writing from this community, it's just that we can't sign Holden Incorporated. We are not Holden Incorporated either. So it would come to the board only if the decision at the end of the deliberation was that we wanted to go in that particular direction of official boycott, and we wanted Holden Incorporated to do the boycotting, then we would have to go to the board and ask them to sign on to it. But another piece of this lovely visual aid here is suggestions of a whole continuum of action that the community might consider. All but one of them we could do without permission or signing on of the Holden.
Just for clarification, so that means that we could decide as a community that we want to buy our vegetables elsewhere, but we couldn't write to NORPAC and say, Holden Village is buying their vegetables elsewhere because we are concerned about
this. We could write that letter. Mm-hmm. We just can't say, Holden Incorporated is joining the boycott against NORPAC. Mm-hmm. But we could, as a community, say, we have chosen, for whatever reasons, to begin buying our vegetables elsewhere. And this is the way we are making our point about the situation that we can do.
But I bet that would be misconstrued by them as Holden, that it would be changed in conversations with the press to be Holden is during the boycott. Because that's effectively what it would be.
I made a subtle distinction between being able to write that letter to NORPAC and
to Kramer Farms, but not being able to send that same letter to Picoon. So the Picoon did not feel as if it was free to use Holden Village Incorporated in publicity about its boycott.
That's the only place I could see that that would be a problem, if on that list of supporters, whether Holden Village name's on there or not. It's like the only place I could see that that being a problem, if the board didn't, you know, approve.
So there are other, like with the ecumenical churches of Oregon, the distinction would be, I mean, if they could use the name too, of saying clear on purposes, so it isn't just.
But you could say members of the Holden Village community.
And that's, I mean, that's often done actually in endorsements. You'll list Reverend Joel Smith of the Greater Council of Churches, and then a little disclaimer for identification purposes only. So it's not like we'd be setting a precedent by doing something other than say Holden Inc.
We have sometimes written letters to the rest of the world as a group here, and been told that we cannot use Holden Stationery to do that. The individual letters from us, and it reminds me very much of that.
It's just a reminder of who we are and who we aren't, just this community, that we aren't Holden. But it doesn't mean we don't, that it doesn't mean either that we wouldn't necessarily decide to press it all the way to that. Or does it mean that then we don't do anything?
Is there a rephrasing of that fourth given that would be satisfactory to people, that captures the intent that we want official participation by the kitchen in the ramifications without sending the signal that they get a veto?
The impact on the whole village would be considered.
Does that feel all right to everybody, that we would change that to the impact of whatever we do, impact on this community of whatever we do will be considered? Sue, does that take it out of the realm of a moral decision for you then to consider an impact?
Yeah, I was. That wasn't so much my issue, is that I was hearing people say, well, if it ended up being a financial issue, then it's no longer a moral issue, it's a financial issue. So that's separate. Yeah, I think, you know, the kitchen should be here now, and they should be represented now, and I don't understand why they aren't, so that they're going to have to be Mark, you know, the food services director, or I don't know, Ginger, maybe you're here in your capacity in the kitchen, I don't know what you are.
No, I'm just here.
You know, so that's kind of frustrating to right now say we want the kitchen's input, whereas all along we said we want everybody's input, and the kitchen has said, you know, that of course they need to get their input.
So does it help you to say that the impact on the village community will be considered of whatever action that we do? Could you make note of that? Any other givens want to be challenged here? We brainstormed a little bit about a continuum of responses we might make, and this is in no way meant to be an exhaustive continuum, but was more in a way to be a conversation starter, so that we weren't just working in sort of a black and white situation of that the vote is yes or the vote is no. So this starts all the way from one end of the spectrum and goes to the other. The first is to conclude we have enough information and choose not to participate in the boycott. That's one. Choose not to choose, which is would be to let it drop. Continue to seek information. And then we listed a number of folk who might answer further questions, knowing as both Margot and Meta said on the tape, that it was a very brief visit and a very complex topic that if there were kind of holes in the community's understanding that could be filled in with information by someone else, then that would be another kind of strategy. To decide not to participate in the boycott that sent money to Paulo Garcia Mission that was mentioned at the forum. Advocate with Oregon congregations for affordable housing. Decide to not buy the percentage of NORPAC product that Kramer Production represents as a symbolic strike against NORPAC that somehow acknowledges that maybe the smaller farms are in a different position. Decide not to buy our vegetables, decide to buy our vegetables elsewhere with a letter to NORPAC and to Kramer. And to decide to recommend to the Holden Board that Holden Village Inc. officially participate in the boycott. And those certainly aren't the only options on the continuum, but it was, we were just thinking, is this a yes or no decision, or are there a variety of ways to address it? So that's what we would like to open up to discussion is, if anybody, I mean, like I said, this is not meant to be a exhaustive list, but if anybody has other ideas of effective ways to address the situation that fit anywhere along this continuum in an ideal audio or ideal visual aid, it would have been moving across like this.
I guess I just, before starting that, helps me to know what our process is. I saw a sneak preview of the fact that meeting every 2 weeks. So is it sort of an open-ended discussion that we're envisioning? Is there a timeline that we're trying to achieve something by? Or does it depend on what we say today?
Well, another piece of the open-ended are the four questions to start. You know, this is why questions that we thought this group needed to address to decide about a strategy. What questions do you personally need answered before participating in a conclusion? To ask each person to think about that. There may be answers that range from, I have all the information I need, to I have 20 questions that I would like answers to. What's the timeline for our decision making? One idea we had was to set a date by which time we would ask people to have their individual questions answered one way or the other and move to a decision-making process. Which Holden community should bring the matter to a conclusion, and what's the duration of that conclusion? It has been suggested that perhaps, and I think this may be, I heard on a tape of the forum, can't remember whose voice it was, that maybe it needs to finally be the community that will live together this winter and will live with the ramifications of the decision that finally makes the decision. How big a community should make the decision. And will this be a consensus decision or some other form of conclusion? Will it be a vote with the majority, or will we try to move to consensus on this as we have other things? And the duration of the conclusion is, do we enter it for a year and then reconsider? Do we take one position for a year and kind of write a letter and say, if there are these changes by this time, we're going to move to the next step, which is sort of what I saw the Ecumenical Churches of Oregon saying, kind of giving a year on notice letter to Kramer Farms. So that's what duration is. Now, does that help, Jim? That these are strategy, and maybe this is where the kitchen question comes in. What questions do you need answered before participating in a conclusion? My guess is there are some among us who, unlike Sue, do need answers about what it might mean in the kitchen. Right? It's possible. So, does that help?
Yeah. I guess I'm still not clear. Maybe that'll just come out of conversation about about the timeline. Maybe we need to talk about that. So,
Mark?
Well, I guess my thought is I'd like to set some sort of timeline by this date.
Okay.
We're going to make a decision one way or another. Otherwise, I'm going to have be talking about this a year from now. That would be way too frustrating. And my other thought was, as far as a consensus decision or other, in order to have a consensus decision, we're going to have to need to frame a question. Because given the alternatives now, you're never going to reach a consensus because it's where's the block, so to speak. Of that consensus if someone has that. Maybe I'm checking.
Does that mean picking one of the alternatives and saying this is the one we want to talk about?
Right.
Towards or...
Because if we would choose we're not going to do it, and then someone says, well, I'm going to block that consensus, which would then imply we are going to boycott.
No,
so.
This implies that the conversation isn't closed yet. At least that's how we do consensus here. But if someone blocks the consensus, then it isn't that the minority vote gets this way or her way, but that the conversation's not over. So that's maybe a little bit different consensus model than we used. Should we start with setting a date by which a decision is made?
You know, other folks.
That was one of the strategies that Janet, Martin, and I came up with that's helpful for us to say towards this, we're moving towards this date, that this time, come what may,
Another model of that is the sort of Peace Church tradition of simply speaking and having conversation until you realize you have come to your end, and you don't force an artificial end by setting a date, but you let the thing flow, assuming goodwill and tenacity, and you simply wait for the spirit to bring you to conclusion. I have some sense that that's a sort of pure consensus model, but I'm not positive about that.
I might be comfortable with that if the group of people who were willing to commit to every meeting and commit to issue, you know, if there's sort of a nebulous group of people who you wait until the spirit moves you to make a decision, and that group is not the same, and the levels of commitment are different, the spirit would never move you to make a decision one way or another.
Sometimes that's the spirit speaking too, because it's not fine. You know, that's why I said assuming goodwill, and that everybody is in and moving as quickly as they can. I've used both ways, and I don't necessarily have a preference. Sometimes deadlines help me.
It seems that in that context that the third question, there might be the first question. Which community or who, and who makes is in on this decision, or how is this decision made by whom? Convinced that that's not the first question, but it seems to me that that might be the first one, and then you can start addressing the others.
Mm-hmm. Well, my concern is the time that will be taken to make this decision. I think a meeting once every 2 weeks for an hour, I mean, it could, if we're going to discuss things in great detail, it could take us 2 or 3 years. And that if we're truly, if the decision of the group is that we seek consensus, then I think we have to make a real effort to be talking. And so I see if the decision has become to consensus, getting together once every 2 weeks isn't going to be too helpful.
That's just a volley. It's that suggestion is just a volley.
But I'm thinking in terms of, you know, trying to make some time, maybe we're going to be together for 3 hours, you know, 4 times in 2 weeks, then maybe we'd get something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thought about that, too. I don't know how you do that with people's summer schedules. Maybe that's possible.
I like deadlines and dates. I appreciate what like the Peace Church does and stuff, but I just don't feel like that very well personally. And I guess also, kind of, I think in the spirit of the, that sister talking about, most of us here have spent a lot of time with it, probably enough to know that we're not going to have everything. And I guess I don't know if we need hours and hours. I'm kind of feeling ready to hear where people are at and see if we can come up with something and go with it, trusting that that we're forgiven if we made a mistake and that we can change it if we realize it, and that most of the people here are pretty smart and that we'll probably do the right thing. Especially, and that list of options was good. I mean, it's in there, we will find the right thing.
Which means,
it means I don't think we need a lot of time, and I would be comfortable with a deadline that was pretty soon.
Like meeting one more time, and then make a decision next meeting, or this meeting? What do you think?
And see what I think of this meeting, and maybe have one more.
Well, like I said, I concur with you, Ron, the decision were to have a majority make a decision, but it seems as if if there are several people that are blocking the consensus, then we could maybe work on that.
If I understand the consensus, then can I make a proposal right now and see if we agree on it? Would that be fair?
Agree on what?
My proposal.
Which one?
What's the proposal? I haven't made it yet. proposal
was that we decide by consensus.
No, I'm asking, if I understand consensus, then I can make a proposal right now and we can see if we can agree to it. Is that what we're doing? Or do we have to go on a timeline?
We don't.
That would be a way of testing okay. The resolve of the group, but it also would imply an answer to question number 3, which has been suggested might be the first, that would imply the decision that this particular group is the proper group to make the decision.
Okay, I'll include that in my proposal.
And it would also imply that there are no questions left to be answered.
My proposal is, starting in October, we no longer purchase nor pack food for the winter community. I suggest that if this puts a burden on the kitchen, that we seek volunteers to put 1 or 2 hours a week into chopping vegetables, and I'd be willing to do 2 hours. If others are willing to do that, we'd say that would be the commitment. At the same time, we pursue the avenue of asking the board to join us in the decision so we can say it's Holden Village, and that we can publicly go out and press that. I would suggest at this time we write NORPAC and say that our decision is to, as a community, to stop purchasing their product, and we would like to continue in dialogue with both them and the Hickmel Churches of Oregon and Pukun. It basically comes out as, I think we should boycott as a community. I'm willing to work for it. I would hope others would sign up to do it. And then from here, we start to look at getting Holden Village Incorporated to buy into it. And at this point, we move at that avenue of what else do we have to ask before we go public with our decision? There's one decision where I make, I'm not going to buy it. There's a second decision of boycott of, when do I start convincing others not to buy it? And I see the issue here is, when do we ask Holden Village Incorporated to stop it, or to start making it public? And I suggest we do it for 1 year. And let, at that point, have a go, no-go decision again.
So you're basically saying your proposal is to decide to buy our vegetables elsewhere, to write a letter to NORPAC and Kramer to that effect, and then to begin working with the board to see if they are willing to come on board with us so that we can move to the basically seek the, go down the avenue of having the board working with this thing. And that you'd start not buying October 1, you'd write the letter soon, saying that the decision is to stop buying October 1. Is there a clause in there if something radical happens between now and October 1 that you could reconsider, or are you just going to stop buying October 1? I mean, is the purpose of our letter like the ECO letter, or is the purpose just
a... I think it needs a clause in there. And I was hoping we'd go with either Poom or, I guess, Pacoon, or the Internal Church of the Oregon and see, EMO. Maybe Matt and Margot had a suggestion of where we could put that clause. Yeah, I can see a clause in there, but I would like to make a decision to do something now. We talk about it a lot, I think. That's my suggestion.
And Margot loves it.
I can go along with that. That's a bold statement, and I'm ready. I'm at that point, too. I just feel like I personally am ready to make a decision. I'd love to see this community.
I would concur.
But also, I'm not going to be here this winter.
I would like to know, and I would like the community to know, the numbers of people who now support the Board of Ed. Many of you told me you have a list of organizations that support.
I have it right here.
What else is it you want to say to you as well as cut vegetables?
It's part of the thing. I think if we don't have people to cut the vegetables, we're not committed to the boycott.
Well,
oh.
The people voting here aren't going
to
be here to cut vegetables.
I am.
I have to group it.
And I'll join Scott.
It would take 14 people.
I just want to mention, too, we did ask where else we might be able to buy vegetables, similar vegetables, and we were given the name of a company which we would be happy to pass on. I'm not sure that we can't get similar vegetables to what we're buying now from a different place. So it might not, that piece of it might not even be necessary.
And how do we know how they treat their workers then? I mean, does the organization that's supporting support or doing this boycott recommend that company?
They did. And it's not, I think Mark answered this particular question best at the forum, so would you like to add to that?
But it's supporting, by boycotting NORPAC, it's supporting the strategy that the farm workers have chosen. And so while another company may be also engaging in the same practice, the farm workers have said, this is how we're going to bring about change by targeting NORPAC. And so we have been to support them in that.
So a lot of what we'd be doing in this is to be a support and to not that pulling our money away from NORPAC is necessarily going to be a big impact on NORPAC's business, but that we're supporting what another group has decided to do and letting NORPAC know that we're another group that is concerned about it.
Scott had made this proposal when we first talked about this in April, so I would say that I would like to do that. But since I've heard Margot's and Meta's presentation, I cannot say that that's a good idea, because it's Kramer Farms that we're concerned about. So we're trying to get to them through NORPAC. And NORPAC is a co-op that consists of many different growers, some of them small. It's where they take their vegetables. And by boycotting NORPAC, just because there's a bad and a real big bad apple in their batch, that I don't think we are going about it in a fair way. I think that's hitting below the belt. I'm against this proposal.
How would you propose doing it in a fair way?
I've been thinking about that for 2 weeks, but it should somehow get at Kramer Farms and not at NORPAC.
My understanding of that, though, is, I mean, that's the reason places like Kramer participate in co-ops, for one. For two, Kramer seems to be the controlling farm of NORPAC. For three, I think part of my understanding, part of the strategy from Cohen's literature is, and why they eventually went after NORPAC and not just Kramer, was to get either Kramer to change their ways or to get NORPAC co-op members to lean on Kramer or to leave the NORPAC co-op for other co-ops. To try to get other growers to participate in ways they can. My impression was that that's not something, you know, for it's fairly understandable reasons, it's not something other growers are willing to get involved in. And so there's kind of this weird protection around Kramer Farms in the form of NORPAC, which I guess I'm not willing, if you're willing to throw your lot in with Kramer, let me throw your lot in with Kramer. And I'm not willing to take responsibility because the farmers chose to do that.
There was a lady here last week or 2 weeks ago in one of the forums or discussions who was from that neighborhood and said, NORPAC really isn't very big at all. And that there's, and that there apparently is a number of other choices. A number of other similar companies. And so there seems to be the possibility that if small farmers suffer as a result of a boycott of NORPAC, then NORPAC is not so large that they wouldn't have other choices for their product.
I think it was also mentioned that those people had presently signed contracts with NORPAC to provide certain vegetables, so those contracts would be controlling.
That's true.
I understand they signed them every year.
And we're also, and we're assuming that that's that small farmer because the small farmer is being moral in their treatment of farm workers, and that may not necessarily be case. And so they also need, because they're part of the co-op, to challenge them.
I just get really angry when small farms are used in situations like this because I have a lot of personal attachment to small farms through my family and my father's work. And the bottom line is that farms like Kramer are going to screw the small farmers once they're done screwing the migrant workers, and they're not doing anybody any favors in the first place. And I hate it when they say things like, "Well, you're going to hurt the other small farmers if you do this." Well, if we don't, they're going to when they're done anyway. They're going to price them out of the market, and that's that. Pretty soon there won't be a NORPAC because Kramer will have the market.
Is Kramer the largest in this?
Yeah.
NORPAC? Largest one?
They own 2,000 acres.
Sure. They own what kind?
2,000.
Barbara? I'm sorry.
He said it was a lot of property.
Maybe we should buy peas instead.
Yeah.
Steve Kennedy's cheese and cheese.
Anybody else?
I could not participate in that decision at this time. I suppose I'm the one with 20 questions that I still want to pursue. I promise this community that I will pursue in a responsible way, but my conscience would not permit me to use that coercion at this point.
What? Even though that people like FOR and CALP, other well-respected Christian organizations have been willing to do it, would that not
I'm interested in why it's taken Ecumenical Ministries so long. That's one aspect. There's a strategic question, which I'm the one that suggested I'd like another conversation, perhaps for the whole community, with Glenn Gershmel from the Lutheran Peace Fellowship, who I think would argue that intermediary organizations can often leverage more action than those that take positions at the polls. And so I have some strategic questions there about how we can have the greatest impact that are simply not resolved yet. That's the kind of question. Mr. Nearman is a pear farmer up near Leavenworth, who I have considerable respect for, and who has migrant workers who work for him every year. I'd like to go and talk to him about his life and the complexities of his, what I think is very diligent effort to do the right thing on behalf of migrant workers, but whom, with just a slight twist of the dial, might be the target of our boycott at this point, because there are other Mr. Newmans down there. Those are the kinds of things that I'm interested in. The WAC board sponsored, the Washington Association of Churches sponsored the boycott of San Michelle Winery until this year, and they just lifted that boycott because finally the migrants and San Michelle has agreed to allow an election to see whether there will be union representation of the workers. I'd like to know some more about how that came together. What were the best strategies that worked to move that along, short of kind of giving up your ultimate weapon, which is participating in the boycott? I suppose that's the biggest thing for me, Scott, is why spend your biggest persuader until you have no other choice? That's mine.
I got an answer to that.
Okay.
Because I don't have the energy to do otherwise in this. Okay. This is not a life goal of mine to become involved in the migrant issue here. I guess if I belonged to, you know, the churches in Oregon and I felt much more close to it, I would want to have somewhere I was leveraging. At Holden, I feel like I don't have the communication skills, telephone, go out and check all the time. I don't have the intimate contact to be that kind of an involved member. I trust Ed Brandt knows to make a decision that I will support what they have done. I will not try and do more than I can do.
Well, I guess for me it's important to remember that it's not our campaign. The farm workers have come to Pocoon, asked them to do certain things, but it's Pocoon's campaign. I don't see Holden's role as intermediary. I see our role as supporting the people who are already involved in the work themselves. If I can just respond to you to that EMO thing. We heard from many different people anyway that Kramers are very generous supporters of the Catholic Church in Oregon, and the Catholic representation on EMO, from what we heard, is what has been a lot of the delay.
Are you accusing them of overreaching, of blackmail or something there?
No, I'm simply saying I'm wondering if the Catholic Church is afraid of losing the support of the Kramers if they would decide to support the boycott.
I'd be real glad to have the answer to that question, but because I don't have it, that's the kind of thing that I'd like to pursue.
I'd like to see decisive action soon, meaning within the next week or so. I agree with Scott in the sense that we do need to make a decision, and Holden Village has enough other things that we need to generate energy towards and so forth. And I think that, yes, we do need to make an educated decision, and because of that, I don't feel comfortable doing that right today. For one, because I haven't had a chance to listen to at least the tape. I'm incredibly ignorant at this point, but I think it's also, we have the forum, and then all of a sudden we're bringing this up again to make a decision tonight. I don't think it would be a real wise decision, but I would like to see this done within a week, within 2 weeks tops, because I don't think we're not the type of organization that can continually go out and be constantly on top of these issues, and I don't think that that's what our purpose here is to do. I think that there are I'm not very active in this sort of thing, so I don't know the organizations that have supported this. But I think that there's definitely some trust that I'm trusting a lot of you people to know about that for me. But I don't think that we need to spend weeks and weeks and weeks deciding to do this. I really think our energies can go to more issues.
Mark?
Janet, am I hearing an indication that we don't follow through with this then? The one piece that I would add to Scott's proposal that we establish a prayer vigil, running campaigns, whatever, that we continue with it, in a very faithful way. But if I'm hearing that we make this decision and then that's it, then I need to decline my support of that too. So I don't know.
I feel like that clause, it would be a continual question of working on it.
Martin, I hear that you wanted more information. I would like more information too, but I also hear from the group that there's some urgency about time. And so how long do you think it would take you to, and I've heard you say you would make a commitment to do that, how long would it take you to get that?
Well, I only started thinking about this today. We only had a strategy session to try and figure out how to help lead the conversation tonight. And for the same reasons that the rest of you are mentioning, which is you don't have time to invest in this question, I have to also say I am interested in investing in the questions, because I think we live in an area where there are migrant workers, and I think it's probably important for Holden Village, with our community in Chelan and our community in Leavenworth and Wenatchee to be informed on these issues. But that's going to take some time for me. If you I don't know what to say. If I'm pressed to a conclusion tonight, I'd have to say, given what I have on my plate this fall, December 1st, I would be ready to say I have had enough time to pull my stuff together and to move. I can't guarantee what my answer would be at that point either, but I'd commit to the community on something like that timeline. But that's just a first blush answer. I'm sorry, I can't be more responsive.
I guess that's, Martin, for me, that's a little frustrating given, I mean, I can appreciate your need to have more information and there's waiting about doing that. That's fine. But one of the statements up here that you all put together was, I guess it was in the given section, the lives of farm workers are poor. They don't live good lives as far as economic, at least. It's a hard struggle. And so it's frustrating for me, given that, to say we're going to wait 6 months, 5 months, before we can take that piece of information and frame it into action.
It's also a little frustrating for me, because when we were trying to decide who was going to go on this trip, it was decided that it wouldn't be a director and it would be two community members, but it sort of sounds like maybe you should have just gone along, because, it sounds like you need to now do a lot of investigative work that Nana and Margo didn't find out all the answers that you wanted, but, or maybe at the same time as that, we've been talking about this since May. So that to me is a little frustrating, to sort of after all this.
It's the third conversation I've been a part of on this issue. Three conversations. And this is only the second conversation, the first conversation after the recording session. So I'm not frustrated by that. I've got time. I don't feel bad about that. I need to look more seriously before. The level of my responsibility in this community is different than some other levels of responsibility. And I can't defend a decision to the board or ask them to participate in it until I feel very good about the information that I've gathered. I mean, they will just they will just laugh us out of town, and I won't do that. I want to be responsible about this, and that's how I see possibilities for me to be responsible.
I'm really frustrated. It didn't start in May. It started in January. That's the first time we discussed this. In March, we had another session on it with three or four people. This is not a new topic to me. And I think that's what that is really frustrating right now, to say that we're looking for answers now. I thought we agreed to send two people to find answers to questions so we could come to decision later. I think it's disrespectful to now say, well, they've come back with these, now we need to go ask answers. My thing was not asking the directors to go to the board with this. It was saying, we go to the board now. And I guess I'd be willing to do that also. So I take some of that burden of personal commitment and say, I would like as a community to make this decision, and I trust who went down there. I trusted the information that came to us before. My fear is we go into winter community and start to have a whole, we are constantly going to have another group that will have to be deciding whether it's right. Somewhere we need to make a decision, and I would like to make it now.
For me, it comes down to a lot with sort of what Mark implied. Where we start from. And if you're looking at this idea, which is a big term, I know, a preferential option for the poor, but you know, why can't we start from that position and then spend 6 or 8 or 12 months looking at whether Crane Farms is doing a good job, or whether NORPEC is a worthwhile organization. If there seems to be strong, each position has their very strong arguments, and I guess my feeling is seems like we should stand by the side of the people, the weaker people, until and have the stronger people convince us rather than the other way around. And that's why I feel like I'm ready to make a decision to support the boycott and continue the dialogue.
I'd like to ask Scott, in your proposal, how had you thought of giving an answer to that, given that the board should be part of this decision, since you wanted it done by October 3rd?
The board is the next step, and I like what Jim's saying. That's how we tie this, is we go to the board next. We don't go public with our decision. We go to just NORPAC, not to Cocoon. And then we start talking to the board. I believe my mother-in-law, I can't think of her name, was going to Joanne was going to go to a meeting, and I'd love to find out how that went on the 14th. That is the next step, where we decide whether we go get the board on and start going public with our decision. Is next. That's not what we make a decision now that unless something changes, we aren't purchasing as a community food. We're not writing out letters to, you know, people what Holden stands for. And does that answer your question?
Yes.
And I'd also like to say, because we're going to buy vegetables, hopefully from other people who are small farms. I don't see us not eating vegetables. I see us being more discretionary in where we're getting them from.
I feel like that addresses what you were talking about too, that both your needs and this proposal could be satisfied.
Who are you pointing to tonight? When you say you.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to you, Mark.
I mean, by not putting Holden's stamp on it, by just saying October 1st we'll stop buying from this place, and then we'll write to this place and say that we're not buying it from you now, and this is why, and we're considering these things as a group, and you can even say in that letter, and I would like to get more information about this and that and the other thing. And that would give you that time personally and as a representative of Holden to
to do that while still being...
And do the question answering and the information gathering in that interim period between stopping buying vegetables, and that leaves as a still another vote, one might say, whether or not to vote in full boycott, depending on the answers to some of the questions. Mary, is that what you're saying, Linda?
Right. Mary? I just have a curiosity question. When Darren Byrne originally made the invitation to the Yocum, they decided there'd be two community members and two board members. What never happened to that? Because now we're talking about getting the board on board in the future, but originally it seemed that we had agreed they would be there. The letter writing to board members was delayed, unfortunately, and when Darren Byrne wrote to give us a date, it was only maybe a week. We only had maybe a week's lead time to decide to go. When we were down there, this immersion experience with Ed Brandt's group became an option for board members to go on. And when the board was here, I talked to Scott's mother-in-law, Joanne, about going. She committed to me, although her commitment was that she would try to go if she could.